secondary problem that there's a conflict, mm-hmm. you know, because someone with those feelings doesn't want to have those feelings, you know. Now, simply exploring that or simply opening it up or getting someone to talk about it, that's not going to necessarily solve the problem because it's a deeper thing, you see. And psychotherapy, of course, isn't just about talking or getting some relief or being given
going
advice.
Along
it's a much deeper thing.
There is a process. This is not just come like this. It's a psychological process. When the client comes to you, somebody to send him to you, because when he feels something, a psychological problem, he couldn't bear to go to you or to talk to you about it, or he even doesn't seek for this therapist. Because of our culture, actually, we face this problem.
So once again, there is a very important point that you are stressing on the fact that, yes, there are religious principles, but we should never forget that culture is really important, and especially when it comes to sexuality. Does you have to take this into account? Let me come to you, Dr. Talal. You just come back from Gaza, and we can imagine, that it was just a very deep trauma. So you're going there as a Muslim psychotherapist and psychologist. What have you been experiencing there?
Actually, a lot of experience. Again, a lot of experience. I don't need to talk about the travel experience. I traumatized from the travel from London to Rafah border, because we've been prevented to go to Gaza for twice. Then when we arrived to Gaza, we are so exhausted, and next day we start our journey, actually, started. We visit the Al-Atatra place, we visit Abdurrabbo place, Azbet Abdurrabbo place. We visit many places. I have met many people. They are living in the tents. What make me feel about the tents, actually, I have another trauma about the tents. The people, the charity, they send the tents, it is not relevant to our weather. They send the tents for the North Pole tents. This is for the cold weather. And you couldn't bear to just sit for 5 minutes in there.
Yes.
It's so hot. The people, they sleeping in front of the tents. They actually... But
on the psychological level, if you come to what you have been experiencing, this trauma, as a Muslim, it's for us, you know, from where we are, it's quite clear that the people there are bearing and facing what they are facing and supporting and being patient in that way because of the religion in one way.
That's what I said, it's sabr.
Yes, it's sabr. This is in this situation.
This is in this situation.
Yes.
All the people in Gaza actually have been exposed to the most devastating trauma because they are ongoing war, their house has been demolished. They lost loved one. People been injured with their injuries.
What is your response as a Muslim psychotherapist? What are you going to tell them, for example? You go there and you say what? They know this before you came. So what else are you adding?
Their expectation was too high from us. They looking for how to solve, first of all, the place to sleep in.
Yes.
And how to get us food and money to spare to buy some very important things for living. But I said, I have a case, actually, it's really affecting us. A man, an old man, about 75 years old, his house demolished. He live in his cousin's house. He stayed for 6 months, that's in the room, in his room, and he haven't left this room for 6 months. When he heard some group came from Britain, London, he get downstairs and sat with us, and I shake his hand. Since when I put my hand in his, I said, this man, is something wrong with him.
I felt it.
Just coming to me like this. And I spoke to the our leader of our delegation leaders. I said, look at this man. He's a psychiatrist. And he said, what, brother? What is he saying? Look at him. And actually, he's a psychiatrist. He said, you're right, Talal. He is. And when I investigate that from his children, they said, This is the first time he's been out of his room. He hasn't talked to us for 6 months. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate your coming to this house, and really you take him. And we came back to him, and I hugged this man, and we started to make a little talk with him.
So it was really starting a communication.
A communication.
I want to come to this, because really when we speak about Gaza, when we speak about the Muslim community, and I want to connect your experience with this, it's really about communication. It's as if when we speak with, you know, this is, we are obliged to face it, because it's quite clear that there is a lack of communication because of the circumstance. In our communities in the West, but also throughout the Muslim world, this is a problem, is that we have psychological problem, because there is a lack of communication. Yes. So in which way we would have to change the mentalities within the Muslim communities to be able to face these kind of problems?
Well, you know, I think one of the problems that exists in our community is that things have become very simplistic, you see. I think this is a serious problem. For some reason, everything has become very black and white. Things are seen at a very superficial level.
I mean, by the Muslims themselves.
By the Muslims.
What do you mean by that?
Well, let's take an example. I mean, like the doctor was mentioning sabr, which is, of course, a key element of, I think, healing, yes? But, you know, you'll get people saying, oh, brother, have sabr, yes?
Yes.
And the number of people
be patient, be perseverant.
But you see, when someone says that to someone who is in deep pain or in anguish, and someone just comes up to them without any realization of their situation or any empathy or any understanding...
As if you were saying this in Islam, that's it.
Yeah, just say, brother, have sabr. Yeah. I mean, how is that going to help them?
Yes.
Now, of course, the sabr will help them, inshallah, but sabr is more than just have patience.
So it's what?
Well, I mean, when we look at the Quranic, for instance, when we look at the Quranic teachings about sabr, I mean, sabr is, for instance, it's not a passive thing.
Yes.
It's an active thing. It's a deep thing, and it involves iman as well. Mm. It's, you see, that's what I mean. I mean, it's very easy to say to someone, oh, have sabr. You know, or it's, I mean, like one of the things I've heard, for instance, in my time is that, and I heard this from an imam, he was giving a talk, and he said, you know, Muslims shouldn't suffer from depression. You know, shouldn't suffer from, and after the talk, I said to him, okay, you try telling that to, say, a 16-year-old girl who has been sexually abused since childhood, grows up hating herself, yes, feeling suicidal, not being able to have any relationships. You try telling her that she shouldn't be feeling depression if she's a Muslim.
Hmm.
Do you
It's important. I want you to react on this, because I was talking about communication, and you answered. No, but it's a very good point. It's a very good point. You are talking to me and telling me, look, it's a communication, but most importantly, is not only to go for people and to tell them, you know, you need sabr, because this is coming from the Quran. You have to listen to what they have to say about their own story. This is what is missing, isn't it?
This is exactly what we went to when we arrived Gaza. We start listening to the people. Mm. And we encourage them to talk about their experience, actually, because this is a relief, a part of their relief, when they talk their experience, because in the trauma, some patient, they couldn't even remember to talk about something that happened to him. They forget totally. Some of them denying to talk about their experience. It's a part of the trauma symptoms. Mm. And this experience, we can share many things about it, but it is... not just goes for about sabr. Sabr is just a one spot in the whole most Islamic psychological relief. We can say, first of all, ala bi dhikrillah tatma'innul qulub.
Yes, but yes, it's in which way we get this tranquility of the heart by remembering God. But I want to ask you something. You went there and you were quite obliged to listen to people because they went through this experience. Yeah. Why is it now that in our communities, among Muslims, it's as if the people are not listening enough? And you said simplistic attitude. So to give me the keys, and I want practical keys for our viewers to understand in which way we have to go forward.
You know,
and in a quite quick way.
It reminded. In fact, it was you. I heard you give a talk once, and it was about marriage. And I was there. It's the first time I'd met you, actually. And you said it, I thought it was a very interesting thing you said that. You know, some of the reasons why people are having marital problems is because they have certain expectations which are way beyond reality. Mm-hmm. So when they see reality, you know, when they're newly married and they see actually, you know, their husband isn't like one of the Sahabas or whatever.
Sometimes the wife.
Yes. And sometimes the wife. Yes. Mm. And they can't deal with it, you see. Mm-hmm. Whereas, as you said at the time, I remember, that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he was dealing with people, he would interact with them at their level and then work on that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Listening to them first. Yeah.
So that's, this is a very important part of the treatment. To listen to the people, especially people under distress, under the crisis, in a crisis situation, just keep listening to them. And don't go to the negative things. Just trying to listen to them and try to support them in a way, in a certain way. It doesn't hurt them. You try to put them in a little imaginative space, safe place.
And not to let them feel guilty all the time. This is something
because they are feeling guilty already.
Yes, already.
You have to put them a little bit of a safe place, even in imagination. Just we are coming here to support you, and we will look after you. We will do whatever you like to help you and to build your house. It's like this is a work in a crisis situation because it's an urgent work.
I think that it will be good to end on this. We have been able during this discussion two or three things that are quite important. The first one is really about, once again, to repeat that there is no contradiction between Islam and psychology, psychotherapy, and it starts by listening to people to try to be able to go for something which is not simplistic answers, even if the question is simplistic or apparently simplistic, or I have depression, and to be also able, because you said it during our discussion, to be able to talk about everything.
Yes.
Depression, sexuality, problems within the family, this is something which is quite important. So to talk about everything, to be able to listen and not to spread around a message of being guilty or feeling bad. We know that the starting point of going to psychology, because we don't feel good, so the point is really to find solutions and to listen and to care about what the people are feeling and in which way they have to deal. That's all we have got time for, but if you want to join the debate or to send us a question or suggest another topic for us to discuss, our email address is islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. That's islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. Thanks to our guests, Shahwaz Haq and Dr. Talal Adib. Thank you for being with us. See you next week, inshallah.